Hello and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, very sadly, Gen Con has come and gone, and we're now having to look forward to Colours and Essen, so it's not all bad news. Now, there was a lot of Gen Con coverage that looked really good. For example, Cubicle 7's got a new Doctor Who game that looked quite interesting, and there were a couple of bits and pieces on show from Privateer Press that looked amazing. Quite intrigued by the Level 7 game. It'd be interesting to see how that shapes out. I was also glad to finally get to see the Star Trek Catan set. I'd quite like to have a go at that, but I believe it's not exactly a cheap product, which is unfortunate. There was a couple of superhero card games around and stuff. Legacy looked quite interesting. Mage Wars, Atlantis Rising, Sura of the Seas. I like the look of that. I'm quite a fan of Sura. It's a nice, simple little game. And Battle Beyond Space intrigued me as well. That could be an interesting little kind of fighting game in space. But also, you could always use those spaceships as proxies for your Eclipse board game. And, of course, that has a new expansion called Rise of the Ancients, which looked pretty good. There was quite a bit of coverage for D&D. D&D Next is obviously in the works, and there was a couple of new releases for that. So if you're in the playtest, you can download that and check it out. It looks okay. It's not particularly exciting me, I'm afraid. But, you know, I'm prepared to change my tune on that. What was far more exciting to me were some of the other announcements. Now, there was a Neverwinter MMO, which I think is great for people who are fans of MMOs. But for me personally, the most exciting bit was that the digital back catalogue was back on. So they are going to be releasing the back catalogue in digital format. The only concern for me is what they mean by that. A quick fix would be to just re-unlock all the PDFs that I purchased, so I could at least download them again for spares and all that business. But in addition, I think they do need to tweak them a bit because they were a bit ropey. So the concern, I guess, right now is what do they mean by digital back catalogue? Now, I'm going to talk about two other companies' releases, but before I do that, I was hoping for a bit more information from Nexus regarding Wings of Glory and Sails of Glory. I haven't seen any coverage so far, so it's possible they did have stuff there. I'm sure I did see a still where they had a load of planes on display, but that's about as near as I've got to seeing any info about their two products. And the other games that I would have really liked to have seen updates on were Storm Europa and Guns of Gettysburg, but I'm fairly sure that there wasn't too much info at Gen Con about them. So that only left me these two other companies, and I'm glad to say they delivered. Fantasy Flight Games had a really awesome display booth. You know, Mansions of Madness, Dust Warfare, Descent, lots of great stuff going on there. Lord of the Rings, I'm really enjoying the stuff that's coming out there with The Hobbit and the new kind of Numenorean edition, looking like it could bring something new to the game. If you haven't tried it, it's quite a good game. It's fairly brutal. Quite hard to win a lot of the scenarios and stuff, and it's a co-op game, which is what a lot of people wish Star Wars was, apparently, although when they announced it was co-op last Gen Con, a lot of people wished it wasn't. So it's having a very mixed response as far as I can tell. It's also been criticised in its new version of just being, you know, just another head-to-head card game like all the others where you place lots of markers and stuff. To me, it looked like it did have some nice touches, and I can see the appeal of head-to-head over cooperative. The only problem with it being head-to-head, of course, is you're not likely to be able to play it solo, and a lot of people were getting quite excited by the co-op side. The only thing I would say, if they had gone with co-op, or if they choose to go back to co-op now that they've had another bad reception for the game, is if you go with co-op, you're going to need to have a light and a dark side set, because some people are going to want to be, we're all Empire trying to crush those pesky rebellions, and other people are going to say, well, we're the rebels and we want to crush the Emperor. So I think that is the only problem with doing a co-op version of Star Wars. You actually almost need two boxes, one for the people who want to be goodies and one for the people who want to be baddies. The other great news about Star Wars from Fantasy Flight was the new role-playing game, which, as far as I can tell, is based off Warhammer Fantasy and Rogue Trader. It looks okay. I'm not a big fan of those game systems. They play out fine. After all, with all role-playing games, it's often the guy running the game who's more important than the rule book. But, yeah, looked okay. Now, if you were actually at Gen Con and went to the Fantasy Flight seminar, it was great because you got a free copy. The problem is it's a beta copy that I think is about $20. Maybe it's $30. I can't remember now. And that's caused a little bit of grumbling as well. But, you know, that's because people don't want to pay for stuff, really. But that's fair enough. They're not going to offer it as a PDF. It's only going to be as a print product for now. And it's obviously pretty much complete. And they're just hoping to iron out a couple of little bugs and spell check issues and stuff like that. Now, continuing with the Star Wars theme, X-Wing was demoed again, and they had an absolutely awesome display for that. I mean, the kind of trench run setup looked really amazing with the textured surface and then the gun turrets and all the planes or spaceships flying around over it. It does look really good. Now, when I first heard about it, I just thought, well, isn't this just really Wings of War in space? Well, in some ways, yes, but having seen a bit more about it, it is different enough that I can see why it's a separate product rather than, you know, X-Wings of Glory or whatever. It does look intriguing. It's gone from not really on my radar to, yeah, I might have to think about this one. Now, there's lots of cool bits being announced for it. Obviously, you've got your basic X-Wing and TIE Fighter, but they have announced, I think it's a TIE Advanced, a Y-Wing, an A-Wing, Slave One, and the Millennium Falcon. And I have to say, the model for the Millennium Falcon that they had on display at Gen Con was awesome. It looked really, really sweet. So definitely something I can see a lot of people buying, even if they don't want the game, you know, just picking up the Millennium Falcon just so they can have it on their shelf or something. Really good game by the looks of it. A couple of little grumbles I've seen about some of the balances on the various ships, so it'd be interesting to see how that actually shakes out once enough people have got their hands on it. But, you know, I think so far everything that I've been talking about from Fantasy Flight is going to do pretty well, to be honest. So they must be pretty pleased with how things are going for them right now. Now, there is another company I want to talk about, and that was Plaid Hat Games. Now, they have sort of been on the periphery of my knowledge, and they had a couple of games that are quite interesting: Summoner Wars and Dungeon Run. Now, Summoner Wars is a great little kind of head-to-head battle game using cards on a kind of sort of like chess-like board, and it's quite interesting. There's a really good YouTube video available about how to play it and how it works, so you might want to go check that out. Now, set in the Summoner Wars kind of universe is the Dungeon Run game, and that's actually a load of guys and girls running down into a dungeon to find the Summoner Stone, and you meet various people on your way who are not too happy about you being there and try and kill you off, and so you have to cooperate to deal with all that. But in addition, once you actually get to the big boss who's guarding the Summoner Stone, you have to then decide how much you're going to betray each other, because only one of you can actually get it out of the dungeon. So it's an interesting mix of, you know, you've got to cooperate initially to go down into the dungeon and explore it all, and then kind of start backstabbing and everything each other. So it's quite an interesting little game, and I can see myself having a bit of fun with that. But the game that really caught my attention was Mice and Mystics. Now, Mice and Mystics, to me, is a board game that's actually a role-playing game. What really caught my eye to start with was these beautiful minis of the mouse heroes. They are absolutely stunning. There's also some rats, for example, for the baddies. Now, not only that, but it's then got this beautiful set of tiles which you play across, which represent the castle that you're in. And it was great. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, it's kind of Mouse Guard, Red Wall, whatever. But it is slightly different. It comes with a storybook that explains what's going on and how you've got there and all that sort of stuff. And the introductory bit, which you should have heard already from me reading it out on the last little snippet I released, actually tells you that you're actually humans guarding a king and the kingdom, I guess. And you're trying to fight against this evil sorceress who gets you put in prison. So you change yourself into mice to escape. And being aware of what's gone on, she changes some of the guards into rats to kind of hunt you down. So it's quite an intriguing little mix of your standard kind of setup. So I like the look of it. The storybook obviously has potentially limited replay if you want to see it like that, because once you've played through it, you've told the story, you're going to want a new story. Well, you can play through it again and you'll get a slightly different story because you'll play it out slightly differently. But they are hopefully going to be releasing extra storybooks, so that's one way of getting around that limitation. And of course, if you treat it more like an RPG, well, you can always write your own stories and just use tiles. I mean, I would be tempted to use claustrophobia tiles for you've escaped into some tunnels, you know, maybe Dwarf King's Hold stuff because you've escaped into something else, maybe into an actual, you know, mouse-built setup. All sorts of options there. Your imagination is the limit there. So I'm really enjoying my Mystics, and that's why I put out that little snippet where I was reading from the introduction, and a lot of people have really enjoyed that, so very glad to have kept you entertained. Well, that pretty much is it from the Gen Con coverage. There, not much more I can say. It looked like an amazing show, as always, and I'm glad I wasn't there, because I just wouldn't have had the money to come home with all the shinies. Now, talking about not having enough money, there's been a lot of really cool stuff on Kickstarter recently. I mean, Mantic had their Kickstarter go really well. There was the Ogre Kickstarter and all that. But there was also some other great Kickstarters, some of which have now finished, some of which are still going on. I mean, there's the Call of Cthulhu Horror on the Orient Express. That looks pretty sweet. 13th Age, Red Box Games, the Bones Kickstarter, simply stunning if you could go in at the vampire level. And there's Numerania, or Numerura, as I'm calling it. That looks very intriguing. It's a kind of Empire of the Petal Throne-y sort of thing, I guess. You know, far, far future, advanced tech, so amazingly advanced, it's more like magic. And I like the way it's got this abilities of might, speed, and intellect, and the class system of Glaive, Nano, Jack, and a sort of way of creating your character where it's like, I am a, I don't know, big, strong, tough Glaive who fights for money. You know, something like that. Obviously, they're still working on how you exactly do that. But the format is, I am a descriptor, followed by class, who, foci. And so the descriptor, class, and foci are the key bits that you'll be able to drop in from various templates to create your character. Looks very interesting. I like the XP mechanic they've got where, you know, if you're running the game, you can say, I want this bad thing to happen, and here's the XP you'll get for allowing me to do that. And as a player, you can say, I'm not interested in that, and kind of pay off to say, no, that doesn't in fact happen. So, yeah, quite an interesting little game. So, overall, I've really enjoyed seeing what's new, what's upcoming. I'm also finding it a bit painful that there's all this money I want to be spending, which I can't right now. And I think it's a really good time for gamers right now. There seems to be a load of stuff. In some ways, it's a bad time because there's just so much stuff. It's what do you spend your money on, particularly if you're on a limited budget. So there you go. Maybe next year I'll be at Gen Con. But the way things tend to work out, I somehow doubt it. I think next year I will be saying, oh, I wanted to get there this year, but maybe next year. But who knows? Things could happen. Well, I think that will do for now. So until next time, happy gaming!